This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Peace be with you from our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow children of mothers, children of God, why are we here? Those who've considered the question recently in a church context might say that, well, we're here to worship God and receive His gifts in the service. Others, if they're honest, might say they came to church today to make their moms happy on Mother's Day. But I'm actually asking more generally and philosophically, why is any of us alive here and now? One answer definitely fits the holiday. We exist because our mothers bore us and gave birth to us. If they hadn't, we wouldn't be here. But that answer begets another question about why our mothers came to be. And that begets a seemingly endless chain of questions going back through the generations asking, why did all those mothers come to be? Now, if we were to accept the theory of evolution, we could never really get to the end of that chain and find out why. The best we could do then would be, well, because it just happened that way. Which also suggests that it could have happened some other way, which means that there really would be no meaning to life or to existence in general, or for any of us in particular. We would have just happened to be for no reason at all. So it's one of the underappreciated blessings of having and trusting God's Word that we can answer, why are we here, with authority and certainty. We are here because the Lord, in His wisdom and love, decided to create man and woman and give humanity the earth to populate and care for. And every one of us as individuals is here because the same wise and loving Lord watched over not just the circumstances of time and place that brought your parents together, but also the genetic pairings and the experiences that made you exactly who and what you are. So God is the one who gave you and me and everyone else life, and He did so for good reason. None of us just happened to be. Let's also remember that what God did, He didn't have to do. The life that you have is a gift from God to be cherished, protected, nurtured, and cared for. But it is not the kind of gift that the giver abandons all interest in. So while we are the ones who live our lives, our Creator still has power and authority over them from beginning to end and everything in between. Our times are in His hands, as we are told in Psalm 31. He is the one who decides who lives and who dies and when, just as He is Lord over everything else in our world, which is His creation. But when He set His creation in order, God also did something else that should amaze us. He delegated some of His life-giving power and privilege. He gave it to the first woman He made, and through her to every mother afterwards. That's what the first man recognizes when he names his wife, as we are told in Genesis 3:20. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. Now, the name Eve is derived from the Hebrew verb to live. So Adam's naming wasn't just symbolic or something. His wife, the mother of his children, and ultimately the mother of every human being other than Adam himself, she was called living. Imagine the message that name would have sent to her daughters and granddaughters and to her great-great-great-great-granddaughters when they met or learned about her. A message about the power, purpose, and privilege of motherhood. It's not a good thing that that message has largely been lost in our day and age. For many in our culture, following the views embedded in the media and taught in the academy, the ability to conceive, bear, and give birth to children is seen as a bug, not a feature of womanhood. We see this most clearly in the arguments that refer to any kind of ban on abortion as forcing women to give birth to unwanted babies, as though bringing new life into the world is some kind of cruel punishment. But even many Christian couples start out marriage with the attitude that children are something to be carefully avoided until the time is just right, if that time ever comes. So let's connect the dots, so to speak. God, our Creator, deserves our honor, not just because He is powerful and good, but even more because He is the giver of every good gift, and life itself is foremost among those gifts. And since God has given mothers the unique and special privilege of bringing new life into the world through the bearing of children, when we give honor, as they deserve, to our mothers and their gift to us, we are also giving honor to the Lord for His gift. Conversely, if we devalue or disrespect mothers and motherhood, we are dishonoring God and His gift of life. From the very beginning, as we are told in Genesis, our Creator had a plan for men and women to bring new people into the world. And He never rescinded that plan, abandoned its purpose, or put an expiration date on it. Woman was not only formed for man, she was designed to do something amazing that man could never do. And we praise God for motherhood just as we praise Him for our own particular mothers on this annual holiday. But when we talk about God's design, we also have to talk about marriage, sex, and family. How He set things up to bring children into the world in the best possible way. Certainly, the one flesh aspect of marriage makes clear that in their way, husbands also are essential to the creation of new life. But this also affirms that the thing that produces babies belongs only in marriage, and that the lifelong union of a man and a woman is the best and proper foundation of a family. Now, it's no news to you that these ideals are not universally observed in our society. In some cases, because they've been outright rejected. In others, because of failed relationships and bad decisions. And in still others, because of accidents and tragedies. What's common to every departure from God's design is sin. Whether it's one's own sin, another's sin, or just the brokenness brought to this world by Adam and Eve's first sin. On a Celebration of Life Sunday, it's actually pretty easy to focus on other people's sins or the sins of society. Abortion is the most obvious, not only for the way that it denies that what is being formed in a mother's womb is a life worthy of protection and care, but also because it deliberately destroys that life. But even as we consider that soon there may be fewer abortions in our nation, we need to note that there are other sins against life that are becoming more and more common in our world. Euthanasia, which actively ends the life of the weak, sick, or suffering, is spreading both in where it is legal and in what it allows. And assisted suicide, officially known as medical assistance in dying, is growing in acceptance in many places. But on Mother's Day, it's also easy to focus on our own sins. We regret disobeying our mothers and all the countless ways that we made or still make their lives more difficult. When we're grown, we see how we have let our moms down or failed in opportunities to make their lives easier or happier. And maybe we didn't call as often as we should or make the effort to visit. Some mothers might be reminded today of things that they said and did to their children or neglected to say or do. Fathers see how they have failed to support and honor their wives. And for some of us, there's the sad reality of a broken relationship between mother and child, and perhaps no longer any way to repair it. But there are plenty of other sins that it's appropriate to remember today. Sins against God's gift of sex and marriage, of which there seem to be no end. Sins of selfishness and pride, when we decide that what we want is far more important than what the Almighty has commanded. Sins of disobedience to authority. Sins of our own against life. Perhaps an abortion we had or encouraged. Maybe the life of a relative that we were too eager to see end. Perhaps actively doing things that put your own health and life at risk. And sins of so many other kinds. The simple truth is that as much as we would prefer to see evil only in our world and in other people, there is plenty of evil to see in our own hearts and lives. We are sinners who sin. And the wages of sin is death, just as God warned Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What we deserve from God is not any kind of reward for our righteousness, but damnation for our disobedience. And yet the Lord, who gave us all life, does not desire to give us death or send us to hell with the devil and his angels. What he wants instead is for us to live forever with him in peace and joy in heaven. But that cannot happen as long as we are corrupted by sin. The imperfect have no place in God's perfect presence. So somehow, he had to provide a way for our guilt to be removed and then replaced by righteousness, so that death would be our entry to paradise, not perdition. And God announced that way and that plan already in Eden. Right after the serpent led Eve into sin and she in turn led Adam into sin. While the Lord was condemning Satan in the snake, he promised that he would send a Savior who would come from one of Eve's as yet unborn children. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So Eve, who was instrumental in bringing sin and its cursed consequences into the world and onto humanity, was also, by grace, given this blessed gift. a role to play in God's plan to save us from sin, death, and hell. And it wasn't just her motherhood either. A reading today from Luke also showed us how Mary was blessed to actually bear and bring into the world the Son of God as her own son. And we know what happened with that son. How Jesus lived a perfect life, but then suffered and died an undeserved death on a cross so that his life and blood could pay the price for every sin of every man, woman, and child. And he did it all. He took away our guilt. He gave us his perfection, and he defeated death and the devil. Salvation. Forgiveness for every sin. Eternal life and heaven are ours. Because our Lord, in grace, mercy, and love, did everything we needed to deliver us and make us his own. You know, if we look, we can actually see the gospel in all motherhood. Not that simply bearing children saves anyone, but that every birth can remind a woman of how the world's salvation involved a mother giving birth. And even more, that all the agony and suffering of labor and delivery can remind her of Christ's cross. How he endured his suffering for the sake of the life that would be given on the other side of it all. And that new life that every believer has as his or her personal and permanent possession makes all the difference for how we make our way through this world and deal with all the challenges, trials, and temptations of life. Just as we reflect back to our mothers the love that they have shown to us, so, and in an even bigger way, we reflect back to God the greater love he has shown us. His grace inspires us, his love empowers us, and his word enlightens and guides us, which makes us different in all the best ways. We know God's will, and we value his gifts, which puts us at odds with the standards and behavior of the sinful world around us. But as our Father's children, we will live out the Lord's desire for sex and marriage, for motherhood, fatherhood, and childhood, knowing that none of the alternatives that please the world or our flesh can ever bring us true joy or fulfillment. And we will, in particular, honor the gift of life itself. Since God brings a new human being into existence at the point of conception, that's when we will begin to value him or her. Since the Lord does not assign a greater worth to the healthy over the sick or the young over the old, we will cherish and protect the life of every man and woman up till the moment God decides his or her time is up. And since there is no time or place or condition or circumstance in which our Creator ceases to care about his creatures, we will care about every person of every age, stage, and situation of life. My organization, Christian Life Resources, offers believers the opportunity to do that together in a more formal way and on a bigger scale. We honor unborn life by operating a network of pregnancy care centers. And we want to honor born life by running a home for single mothers in Milwaukee called New Beginnings. We honor life that is approaching its end with guidance and resources. And we honor life for everyone with materials and education on issues of marriage and sexuality, family and fertility, health and medicine, science and technology, and many other topics that are of concern to any Christian trying to find and follow God's way through the challenges of life in this sinful world. But there are plenty of ways for every Christian to honor God, the life giver, by honoring life every day. A reading earlier from Proverbs illustrated one. Speaking up. Speaking up for those who can't speak for themselves and defending the rights of the poor and needy pretty clearly describes what each of us wants to do and can do. To affirm every unborn baby's right to life and every suffering senior's right to not be made dead before his or her time. We honor our own lives by taking good care of our health, and we honor the lives of our children by teaching them the ways of the Lord, which will always lead them on the best paths through life. And of course, on this holiday, we honor life and honor our Heavenly Father by honoring the mothers through whom He gave us our lives, and by honoring His institution of motherhood as well, and marriage into which He placed it. These days in which science is looking for ways to usurp a woman's role in bringing children into the world, in which our sex-addled society has upset God's design for marriage and family in so many ways, and in which we see confused girls encouraged to have surgery that will keep them from ever having kids, well, standing up to honor what our culture does not is a way that Christians can be salt and light to a world that desperately needs to know the Creator's love and wisdom. So absolutely, honor your mom. Flowers, cards, dinners, and special gifts are certainly appropriate. But when you remember all that God has done for you through her, well, you have a lot more reasons and days to celebrate. Let's not take her or him or life itself for granted. We have a lot of thanks to give every day. Honor the giver of life by honoring his gift. Praise the Lord. Amen.